today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
I was squatting next to this young man who was one of the members of that first mosh pit. I begged and pleaded that when the inevitable explosion happened, that he did not kill me in the process. And I'm happy to say I did not get killed. Interrupt your podcast listening for a Rocking the Suburbs special report. Jason Goble reporting. The Suburbs Pod community is definitely a little askew. Earlier in September, a bunch of members trekked to Louisville to see the band Phish. And that group included not just the usual suspects, Hometown Guy, Billy McNeil, and Kevin Bartlett, but a bunch of people who I wouldn't expect to have seen Phish. And I realize it was part of Bourbon and Beyond, but I will say those non-Phish fans seem pretty excited to go see the Phish. Then Stephen Rutledge pulls Goose as an August new music pick. And then to top it off, your humble correspondent trekked to the middle of Brooklyn to go to a music festival on September 27th, which was in honor of the former venue known as CBGB's, the former legendary venues, which was ground zero for punk rock music in New York City. I'm a lawyer. I'm not a scientist. I can't explain why the universe is off, but what I can do is tell you a little bit about CBGB Fest. I guess I should start by saying, when CBGB's was open, I only went to the venue once. I had a friend who went to college at NYU, and a bunch of us went in to visit him. And he took us to CBGB's, and we lasted, I would say, about 20 minutes. And we ended up at the club next door, which I believe was also run by Hilly Crystal. That having been said, I definitely grew to appreciate punk rock music a lot more, especially I think starting in the 90s. And there were two or three acts that were on the venue that I definitely wanted to see, so I bought a ticket for CBGB Fest. Got to talk about the venue because that was one of the more interesting aspects of this show. The venue was at this place called Under Cave Bridge Park. And I believe it's a space that was set up by the city. It's primarily, used as a skateboarding park. But they've started having shows there. And the venue is essentially what it says it is. It's under this major bridge in the city that basically connects Brooklyn to Queens. Definitely one of the more interesting venues I've ever been at. The crowd was an interesting mix of young punk rock fans. They had a young person stage, which I'll get to a little bit during this report. And then a number of veterans who looked like they had definitely been around and had regularly attended shows at CBGB's when it was in its heyday. The amount of mohawks and dyed hair, probably the most I've ever seen at any concert I've ever attended. Any event, I walked into the venue and I started off at the young person stage, and I'll be honest, it was intended to basically be just a quick stop before going over to the main stage, but the opening band that I saw definitely kept my interest, and I ended up staying for their entire set. It's this band, the Molotovs, out of London. It's a guitarist, bassist, and drummer. I believe the guitarist and bassist our brother's sister. Apparently, they're pretty well known already in the punk rock community, but they're releasing their first full-length album in January of next year. And I have a feeling there's going to be a lot of buzz and a lot of people talking about this band next year, just because they're a really fun live act and their music is really good. They only have very limited stuff on the streaming services right now, but one of the songs that is available is this great cover of David Bowie's Suffragette City. And I highly recommend you go listen to that. After Molotovs were finished, I went to the main stage. I watched the band The Melvins. It was a band I had heard of but never really had listened to. They were really good, enjoyed their performance. And then I walked around a little bit, getting ready for one of the acts I was definitely there to see, which was the Lambrini Girls. Somebody, I apologize, I can't remember who, brought the Lambrini's Girls up as part of January New Music. And if you haven't listened to Who Let the Dogs Out, definitely I would go listen to that, because that's one of my favorite albums of the entire year. As for the Lambrini Girls' performance, they definitely got the memo. They knew the audience was there to have fun, and they definitely brought the fun. Within a minute of their first song, Big Dick Energy, a mosh pit broke out. First mosh pit I saw of the day. It was a small mosh pit, but still sort of sizable. And in response to that, Phoebe Lunny, who's the lead singer / guitarist of the Lambrini Girls, came into the crowd, had the crowd divide into two sides, squat down. I was squatting next to this young man who was one of the members of that first mosh pit. I begged and pleaded that when the inevitable explosion happened, that he did not kill me in the process. And I'm happy to say I did not get killed. But Lambrini Girls just brought a lot of energy. Phoebe Lunny came into the audience a bunch of times during the show, encouraged a lot of fun and shenanigans. Great set, and I would highly recommend, if they're around you, that you go see this band.
lots of noise, a lick of paint revitalizes run down houses in the run down town. Culturally commodified housing price monopolized run down houses in the run down town. Trash becomes a coffee shop, businesses and office board, crime rate low and the rent price up. Elevate, globalized, residency humanized, run down houses in the run down town. Vitalizes run down houses in the run down town. Equitized, villainized, violates squatters' rights. Low laws are ruining your brand new town. Town hall becomes a brewery, furthering disparity. Drowning out censor, what was community? Elevate and globalize, residency humanized. Low laws are ruining your brand new town. Gentrification is a process of urban development in which a neighborhood develops rapidly over a short time, changing from low to high value. Original residents, families, single working mothers, low income households are displaced from the very community that they helped build.
Then went back to the main stage to see Johnny Marr. It's funny, I was never that big of a Smiths fan. I had only really seen Johnny Marr when he played with Modest Mouse, which I think he did for like a couple of years. But Johnny Marr puts on a great show. He's got a great band backing him. It was definitely a lot of fun seeing at least the Smiths hits that I knew being performed live. So I was glad I got to see that. And then next on the main stage was the band The Damned. Well, I guess we're one of the main originators of the punk rock scene in Britain, and I'm sure played CBGBs a number of times. They were a band I had heard of, never really had listened to, but I have to say, I also really enjoyed their set. Their lead singer just has a ton of energy. He was moving throughout the set. I think he actually sort of climbed the stage rigging, partially at least, during their performance. Just was another fun part of the day. And the main reason that I really wanted to go to this festival, it was a performer who had done two club shows in the city, but both were instant sellouts and ticket prices never went down. So I was more than happy to get a chance to see a Jack White perform, who was next on the main stage. You know, I realize this is Adam Koop's lane and he's talked about it a few times. I got really nothing to add other than he's amazing live. I had seen him before. I think this is the first time I've seen him with this band. And his backing band is just amazing as well. And I guess the one thing I'll say is you can't have a better live music experience than seeing Jack White and his band do Seven Nation Army. With the audience participation at 100% and just adding to the greatness of that song, Jack White putting on an amazing performance at CBGB Fest. I then went over to that young person stage again. I wanted to see a little bit of Linda's. Ended up seeing about 15 minutes. They were a lot of fun, but I wanted to get back to the main stage because I wanted to have a good view of that night's headliner, Iggy Pop. I'll say this about Iggy Pop. He's 78 years old. He is still, though, just this amazing ball of energy, pretty much in constant movement. I think there was one song he did where he leaned against a stool. But other than that, again, a constant ball of motion, doing the prancing and preening and posing that Iggy Pop is famous for. I had seen Iggy Pop once before. It was part of, I think, a mini reunion of the Stooges that happened, I want to say, in the 2000s. But this was the first time I had seen Iggy Pop as a solo act, and he's got this great band backing him that includes a horn section, and the horns definitely add to the music. And it was a great set of music, which was a nice mix of Stooges and Iggy Pop solo stuff. Plus, he does the whole show shirtless, which, again, is pretty ballsy. So, just Iggy Pop, really fun way to end a great day at CBGB Fest. So, back to the reason that I chimed in an attempt to get the universe back on track and have the Rocking the Suburbs world spinning correctly, I will take one for the team, and we'll be going to two fish shows at the end of the year. Hopefully that gets the Rocking the Suburbs world back on its correct axis. That's it. We now return you to your regularly scheduled podcast listening. The amount of mohawks and dyed hair, probably the most I've ever seen.